Well, you may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am so glad to see you, and even gladder to see me. We're here, right?
Amen.
Amen. It's going to be a beautiful day outside. Cindy and I were driving into the parking lot today, got out of the car, and there was a dove cooing in the trees, and then as we walked up to the entranceway, there were a bunch of cardinals just kind of, you know, doing what cardinals do when the sun's out, and you could hear the birds in the background. It just sounded really good. It's one of my favorite times of year as we move into spring, okay? But unfortunately, and I say this unfortunately, I also don't look really forward to this season because Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we go into Lent. Now, I know I'm a priest, but I got to tell y'all, Lent has not been my favorite season. It just, and I don't think I'm the only one. I'm just saying, it's not my. It doesn't rank up there with Christmas or even Kingdom Tide. I enjoyed Kingdom Tide because you know, things are just all kind of all over the place. You can go wherever you want to go, but in Lent there's a focus on a penitent season, and our liturgy changes, our service structure changes, all to remind us that leading up to Easter, the sufferings of Christ. And recently, and I'd say over the last 5 or 6 years, I began to have a whole new perspective on Lent as not something to fear or to not fear, and that's not the good word. Not something to dread. Thank you. See, somebody else is right there with me. It's not something to dread, but rather Lent can be something to embrace. And that's what I want to talk about today. I don't want to wait until Wednesday night to help us prepare for Lent. Why don't we prepare for Lent today? Or at least let me provoke you to some thought of Lenten preparation today, so as you go into Ash Wednesday, maybe God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will speak to you, and maybe this year you could approach Lent in your personal life a little different than you normally do. Okay, is that fair enough? Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to take Father Looker last week had a scripture that said, "Be ye perfect," and talked about the word perfect. Fortunately, it doesn't mean perfect. It means mature. Be you mature. And a time of Lent is a time to help us mature. As we enter into the Lenten season, it is a perfect time to help us mature in our spiritual walk with the Lord. Being an independent charismatic Pentecostal that I came out of, the seasons of the church always confused me, okay? Because why do they do that? Why do they rehash the same thing over every year, over and over and over again? Why do they do that? And I work with a wonderful group of Christians. The majority of people in my company are Christians. But they are also the majority of them, except for a few very devoted, spirit-filled Catholics that I work with. The majority of the people that I work with belong to either Assemblies of God or Church of God. And there's not really a big understanding of things liturgical or sacramental at work. In fact, there's almost disdain at times. And I recognize that because I once was that way. You got to understand, I have a unique perspective. I once was that way myself until I embraced the fullness of my faith, okay? And I see heads nodding. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you come out of the same background. Others of us have come out of a traditional Episcopalian background where we did it because that's what they did. And that's just what you do in church. You change colors, you change seasons, you change prayers, and you have different things that you do. So wherever you come from today, whatever background you come from, my hope is to challenge you to approach this Lent with a different purpose in mind, with a different goal in mind. I'm going to go back to our New Testament reading today, because there's a lot of richness in this scripture out of Philippians. And the first thing, just a side note, but I've got to get it out. Verse 10 from Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. When Cindy and I participated in our first Giver of Life, this was the key scripture verse that Vanita Goodman gave the cast as our verse for that season. We heard it every time we assembled, every time we rehearsed. There were messages structured around it. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. As I was rereading the scripture, preparing, that whole experience in my life, and especially this scripture, really pushed me into a more liturgical, sacramental form of worship in my own personal life. Because there is power in the resurrection. But we're also called to have fellowship in suffering. See, as an independent charismatic, if you're suffering, you're in sin. That's the way I was taught. You might not have been taught that way in your church. That's the way my church taught it that I was a part of. If I suffered, I must not be doing something right. But if I read this scripture, when I'm suffering, it literally can be fellowship with my Savior. What a unique perspective. Completely opposites of each other. But that really opened up a lot of things to me and challenged me deep inside. And I honestly believe, even though I'd already been part of the Episcopal Church USA, this was before my time in coming into the CEC, and this was the beginning place for me of moving into a full understanding or a better understanding of liturgical sacramental worship. But I really want to focus on verse 13, where Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." There's a journey that we undertake, and we have a goal. And that goal is to have eternal fellowship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and to sit with him in high places. The time of Lent is a time of preparation for the Christian to prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord and the resurrection of the Lord in Easter. I was doing a study. You know, I like to work up words. I got to look up words. Why do we call it Lent? What does Lent mean? I was surprised. Maybe some of you will. Maybe this is old hat for you guys. I don't know. But Lent comes from an Anglo-Saxon word meaning to lengthen. And it also translates to spring. What? Remember I told you when I came in today, I heard the birds and the sun was shining. And you know that spring is just around the corner, and how that makes you feel? Makes you feel excited. Lent doesn't make me feel excited. But yet it means spring. It's springtime. Spring is specifically the season between winter and summer, comprising in the northern hemisphere, usually in the months of March, which it's March 2nd, April and May, or reckoned astronomically, extending from March equinox to the June solstice. Spring also means to act in an instant of leaping or moving forward, to spring forward. We're going to do that next Sunday with our clock. See all the things I'm getting in this? We're going to do that next Sunday. It's spring forward. It's springtime. It's time to move the clocks forward. Well, spring is where growth occurs. Ask any farmer. More on that in a minute. But we prepare ourselves for new growth and graces that will overflow from Easter. Once decided what a farmer is going to plant, he then must prepare the soil to receive the seed. Listen to this. On the very threshold of his death and resurrection, our Lord told this to his followers. Unless the grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. The man who loves his life loses it, while the man who hates his life in this world preserves it for life eternal. If anyone would serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there will be my servant. And that's out of John chapter 12. In the season of Lent, why don't we renew our baptism and our baptismal covenant so we can do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, that we can press for the goal of the prize that is upward, the call of God in Christ Jesus. See, Jesus understood the season, and he understood the preparation that had to be done to the soil. And Lent is a time for us to prepare the soil of our hearts and of our lives and of our minds for the seed that the Holy Spirit has planted in us to grow forth and bear fruit. Think about an athlete. An athlete, a great athlete, people who are known for their skills, whether it be a pitcher or a quarterback, they are defined in society by what they did in a game or what they did in a play. You know, they're publicly known for what they do. A pitcher that pitches a no-hitter, he's known for pitching that no-hitter. Quarterback that throws the game-winning touchdown pass while there's four defenders coming on him and threads it like a needle, he's known for his accuracy. Wow, what a throw. He's a great athlete. What most athletes aren't known for publicly is their work ethic privately. They are not defined by that moment in time, by that play, or by that game. They are defined by what they do in preparation for that moment in time, or in preparation for that game, or in preparation for their entire career. It's not what they do publicly that makes them known. It's what they do when nobody else is looking. How they prepare the soil of their talent to be ready for that game, to be ready for that play. It's not just exercise. It's what they eat. It's how they work. It's how much they sleep, how far they run, how much weights they lift, how much time they stay studying the opposition. Film study, play study, Pitchers have got to know the batters they're facing. They got to know their tendencies. Quarterbacks have got to know defenses. Defenses have got to know offenses. They have to study film. They have to understand all the ramifications. You'll never see that on TV unless you read a book about a great athlete or, you know, they do a story about it. But we define them, the public defines them, by that one moment, that one game. But their whole life has been spent in preparation for that. Kind of sounds like the way we should be. Have you ever found yourself in a crisis situation and you don't know what to do? Have you ever found yourself in an uncomfortable situation and you don't know how to get out of it? And yet, we all know people that they are the people that you want to be with in the midst of a crisis. They are the people that you want to go to for prayer when you're in the midst of your crisis. But what marks them differently is their time of preparation for that moment. And we too can be marked that way. Lent, or springtime, is a perfect opportunity for us to prepare the soil of our life, to mature and to be able to spring forth the word of the Lord or the presence of God in any situation, whether it be a stressful one, a crisis one, or one where you're helping someone else in the midst of something. Does that make sense? Okay, good. It kind of helped me. It might not have helped you. They call that a rule of life or a personal discipline. Lent challenges us to renew or enhance our rule of life or our personal disciplines. Paul says to Timothy, Paul told Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. To be instant in that means to be ready at all times. Don't run home, search your Bible for a scripture, and run back to somebody to give it to them. Somehow that word needs to be in us already, to be instant when it's needed. Not when we thought it's needed, but when somebody needs it, when God puts somebody in our path that needs it at that time. The most accepted view of Lent, or spring, I'm just going to keep using that, by the way, because I really want us to get our thought process around that. Rather than dread it, we can welcome it. And spring just sounds so much nicer. The most accepted view is that it's a time to abstain from things or deny our flesh things that we normally like to have. Common things are chocolate. And I, by the way, I wrote down everything that I have fasted in my life. So I'm not singling out anything. I'm talking things I've fasted. Chocolate, coffee, sodas, meat, alcohol, TV shows, and meals. And that, I'm not going to tell you all the things I've fasted throughout my life. Some of you know a few of them. You're smiling, but we're just going to leave it right there. But the most beneficial fasting occurs not by what we give up, but what we take in its place. Because just to give up something, come on, church, the world can give up something. But it's what we take on in its place. So, you know, the concept obviously is that if you give up a meal a day, you should replace the time you would spend on that meal in prayer or study. Right? I mean, we know this. We know that's what we're supposed to do. If you give up a TV show, replace that time slot with prayer or study. Because it's, again, it's not so much about what you're giving up, it's about what you're taking on in its place. When fasting, you're not really doing anything but dieting. If you're not replacing it with prayer or study. I mean, let's call it what it is, okay? And I've done it before. I've fasted things that I knew in the back of my mind were for my own benefit, health-wise, you know, and it just came at a good time. Lent was a good reason to do it. How are some of the things that we could do to enhance our walk with the Lord? Well, it just so happens that I think we got a built-in, ready-made answer for that for Church of Messiah this Lent in our springtime. Here comes a shameless commercial. Wednesday night services. Unbelievable time of worship, intimate worship, generally led not by me. So it's not a commercial for me. I'm usually in the sound booth for Wednesday night service. But I'm telling you, it's rich. God has anointed that time of worship. It's very special. Father Looker has done two incredible teachings on Wednesday nights. The first was coming out of the wilderness. And the second was, why do we do what we do? A biblical perspective of liturgical worship. Something to that. I just tore up your titles, but the next one he's getting ready to do, which just so happens will start the first Wednesday of Lent, not Ash Wednesday, because we're having a Eucharistic service, but the following Wednesday, which would be the 12th, he is going to undertake a teaching, this is mesmerizing me what he's going with. He's undertaking a teaching on screw tape letters, which I read many, many years ago, but now I got to go out and get another copy so I can read it again, so I can be prepared for it. But screw tape letters are basically, well Scott, just stand up if you don't mind and tell us briefly. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott. What a better way to prepare the soil of your life. We have faithfully been done before 8:30 every Wednesday. Before 8:30. And it's been rich. It's been deep. I have personally gotten a lot out of every session. And I encourage you, this is a perfect place that the church is offering. I encourage you to do what you can. If Your schedule won't permit it. We get that. I get that. If you know you're still at work or you're getting, but how about taking that same time and devote it to study and prayer in your life? Hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half more out of your week than maybe is already part of your discipline or part of your rule of life. To prepare yourself, to prepare your soil in fellowship with other believers and like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. If that's already part of your rule of life, what can you add to enhance your walk with the Lord this Lent? What else could you put in? Could you give up a one-hour TV show a week? I mean, certainly, now look, I don't want to give away any trade secrets, but certainly in this day of DVRs and on demand, you don't have to watch it on a certain night at a certain time. You could watch it another time. You could. But the whole idea is prepare the soil of your life. Think about this. We're a sacramental church. We believe in signs and symbols. We believe in sacraments. We believe in we believe, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have just drawn a blank. And I wrote it in my notes because I knew I would. We believe in, there it is. We believe in outward and visible signs of inward invisible truths. May each of our lives this Lent, may God give each of us an outward and visible sign of an inward invisible truth that He is giving us as we prepare the soils of our life to receive more of Him and to mature, to be more like Him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.